This is Mae Russell. This is the second half of broadcast number 849, March the 14th, 1988. I'm going to do a series of broadcasts continuously, which I've done, on fascism in America. And sometimes I'm going to repeat or go over material, which I don't like to do for long subscribers. But there are so many new listeners that have caught on to the broadcast of World Watchers and been deprived of a lot of the information of the past, and what I'm having on the air now, so much of it relates to the past that occasionally I am going to go back for you on some very important information. One of them is the FBI report that was written for me in 1967. That was a long time ago, 21 years ago, and I referred to it briefly last week on the air, but I want to remind the people who take this tape that the FBI started a report on Mae Brussel 21 years ago because she stated publicly that she was afraid of fascism, and the FBI decided that the matter had to be handled immediately, and replies marked for the attention of the General Investigative Division because I became a threat. It's interesting that in the course of writing up this FBI report, and each time I read it, I even see different things here. It said that the FBI agency in San Francisco determined that Mrs. Brussel in the past has expressed great alarm over the fact that the United States is becoming fascist. So the report was written in 1967, and I was worried about fascism even before they decided to write the report, and I was concerned about conspirators in this country. And the great word that they keep using three times in the report, she even expressed it publicly, and therefore I became an enemy of the state, and fascism is what I have been afraid of. And I mention this report often because it should sink into people's heads exactly what the FBI and Secret Service have in mind when people speak up, and that the real danger is not fascism, and you have to get that loud and clear. The real danger for them is a person who exposes fascism until they can come out in the open, as did Hitler in 1933. Now, I briefly mentioned last week, and I want to do more on this now, an article from the San Francisco Examiner, February 29, 1988, former CIA agent running a covert campaign for George Bush. Former CIA agent who's highly critical of the Reagan administration and their covert operations, Miles Copeland is assisting Vice President George Bush and wants to renovate the spy agency. The covert operations practitioner, who served in the 1960s-1950s in the CIA as a link to Gamal Abdel Nasser, and that's the point I want to emphasize tonight, and I briefly mentioned last week, Miles Copeland was a link to Gamal Abdel Nasser, the anti-Israeli Egyptian nationalist leader. In fact, in the book, Kukurich's book, Galen Spy of the Century, it mentions Mr. Copeland. Mr. Copeland said that he and other people who are retired from the CIA support George Bush. He was their CIA director in 1976-77. Copeland is working with other retired intelligence operators, also from the DIA, in a way that covert operations should be run. They're working on it now and will present to George Bush evidence the way they think they should run covert operations and take over entire countries. He said the fault of the Reagan administration has not been in keeping secrets, but doing stupid things in secret. He acknowledged that he wants George Bush to work closer with Arab nations and push aside a lot of the interest in Israel for the Arab nations. He said this would cause problems for the Bush campaign, but he believes it's time to do this. And as I mentioned last week, Bush is always wary of Israel's role in the secret weapon sales before. The former CIA officer was working behind the scenes to promote Bush, along with Archibald Roosevelt. Kermit Roosevelt was the one who worked with the overthrow of Iran, of Mossadegh, and put in the Shah. Archibald Roosevelt, and I'm not sure whether he means, the author says Archibald, but I think it was Kermit Roosevelt who worked with Copeland. And they worked together in the Middle East in the 1950s. The source said that Roosevelt had discussed Copeland's ideas for a new CIA with George Bush. Mr. Roosevelt had. Copeland said that he will be meeting with Bush in the near future, and he will brief him in his Copeland's confidential paper last summer, where he made up a plan and reported his intention to write material for Bush. He wouldn't give campaign speeches, but he would write an outline of the intelligence community and how the covert operations should work and how CIA people should topple governments and promote U.S. interests. Forget guerrilla warfare. And Copeland said he had been approached by manager Ghorbanifar, the Iranian middleman, for help in promoting the sales with Casey. Copeland was in the OSS. He went in the CIA right in the late 40s. As soon as it became the CIA, 1947 is when it became the CIA. He was a consultant on operational techniques. This man that worked in Egypt for the CIA is the link to Nasser and Kermit Roosevelt. Now, in the book Galen, Spy of the Century, it tells, and I've had this on the air a long time ago, but again, there's new listeners. I had it in 1979 about Miles Copeland, and maybe updated it since then, but that was 9 years ago when I referred to this book, How the British Government Got Out of Egypt. And by 1951, Alan Dulles had sent Kermit Roosevelt. I've never heard the other name is, I think the author of that article, the Examiner, has it wrong. It's Kermit Kim Roosevelt, the grandson of President Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider, went to Egypt, and they began their assignment. They got rid of King Farouk and put in Mr. Nasser, and the intelligence community took over from what Great Britain had in Egypt, and the CIA and Reinhard Galen then became in charge of the Egyptian operation. Incidentally, on Good Morning America, about 2 weeks ago when they had the primaries in South Dakota, members of the Indian reservation were saying why they didn't appreciate the statue of Teddy Roosevelt at Mount Rushmore. And they criticized the other presidents there. But the Indian speaking, and I taped this off and have it on the video, he said that they didn't like Teddy Roosevelt because he's the person who said, this is the quote, "If America is to realize its manifest destination, the tribal populations must be crushed. Our manifest destination was decided by Teddy Roosevelt or spoken about by Teddy Roosevelt, and the Indians were aware of it. It's pre-Hitler days, and Teddy Roosevelt's grandson then went in with the CIA. Galen, Spy of the Century said the American government put $40 million into Egypt's economy, and Alan Dulles sent Mr. Nasser a personal gift from President Eisenhower of $3 million, which Kim Roosevelt's friend, Miles Copeland, gave to Nasser's secretary in suitcases. And Miles Copeland then worked in Egypt where Nasser needed people to organize his secret service, so he directed his espionage and training saboteurs against Israel and advise on the surveillance of his enemies inside Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood and the Americans turned to Reinhard Galen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, and he suggested his old friend, XS Sturmfuhrer Otto Skorzeny, on the assignment of Egypt. So as soon as Skorzeny was released from Europe as a war criminal, he was in jail and walked away, held in American captivity and released. He was held 3 years, released in 1948, the same date as Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger's mentor. He went to Spain and set up an engineering business, and he promoted the CIA in Madrid and began appearing in Egypt, working with Nasser. And Alan Dulles, the man who was in the OSS, who was working with Carl Wolf, and this Himmler's liaison working out of Bern, Switzerland, Alan Dulles and Reinhard Galen, Hitler's chief of intelligence, approached Skorzeny's father-in-law, Dr. Hallmar Schacht, who was once Hitler's financial wizard, who was acquitted at Nuremberg and got out of his 8-year sentence under the denazification laws. Skorzeny went to Egypt for about a year. Then he left Nasser's secret service in the good hands. It was in the hands of other Waffen-SS and Gestapo men. He recruited 50, some of whom were summoned from Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Spain, where they found a safe haven from Allied prosecution as war criminals. Among his assistants was a high official of Goebbels' propaganda minister and Himmler's RSHA, Franz Bunch, an expert on Jewish matters. He had worked with Adolf Eichmann on the Final Solution during the war. He wrote a book called The Sexual Habits of the Jews. It was probably the most viciously pornographic document ever produced by the Nazis. This is Galen, Spy of the Century by Kukrige. These German intelligence in Cairo looked to Reinhard Galen for advice. He appointed a liaison officer to them who he sent from Germany. He was a bird of the same feather, an ex-SS officer and deputy Reich leader of the Hitler Youth, Mr. Hermann Lauder, and he went over there to Egypt to assist the head of the Hitler Youth. And, of course, then in Egypt, he could recruit the Nazis from the Hitler Youth to his side. They were young and ready to fight, so he could take the ones that he had already decided were important and get them over to Egypt. A little background on this book that mentions Miles Copeland and Otto Skorzeny from Galen, Spy of the Century. And this chapter also goes into their role against Israel, the Egyptians, and Mr. Brunner, who was set up in Syria, one of the top Nazis who loathed Jews, who's alive today and protected in the government of Syria. And I'll do more about him later. Now, the subject that I've researched for many years is the problem the people behind Henry Kissinger, his mentor Fritz Kramer, and also the relationship of Fritz Kramer to Otto Skorzeny, who set up this operation in Egypt. And so I go to another book that I've quoted and used before, but it's pertinent now, as these people are going to run the George Bush campaign, and Bush is directly tied to Mr. Townley, Michael Townley, and Colonial Dignitas, to the Defense Department, the Mertz Corporation, the weapons that were worked out with Klaus Barbie, and the network of Colonial Dignitas I've had on the air and want to continue some more. But George Bush and the Ronald Reagan administration have worked to use a weapon supplier for Ollie North and the secret team. And again, the secret team, the Stanford Technology Training Group, came from Hakeem buying International Imaging, which belonged to Otto von Bolschwing, a man who was part of the Final Solution of the Jews, but who worked and became the Galen representative when Galen left this country after the war back to Germany to set up his network with the head of the Hitler Youth. And these people, Miles Copeland and his association with Skorzeny, is tied directly to the network in California to Ronald Reagan and to George Bush, who will be the next president. In the book The Damned Engineers, published, it came out in 1970, written by Janice Giles, G-I-L-E-S, Houghton Mifflin, there is a section on Otto Skorzeny and Fritz Kramer, the two that merged together. Now, Skorzeny got out of the American jail, and by 1949, he was on his way to setting up the Nazi network. And by 1948, we have that plans officer, the mentor of Kissinger in the Pentagon, who I believe is the same Waffen-SS Fritz Kramer that worked with Skorzeny. They all appear together today, and they were together before, and I have no way of ever believing these are separate people, those two Kramers. In the book, The Damned Engineers, Giles says the 6th Panzer Division in the Battle of the Bulge, they're talking about, this is the end of the war where the Nazis were to be routed up by the Americans and protected till they could do what they're doing today and doing it very well. The Panzer Division was politically colored. All its armored divisions happened to be from the Waffen-SS. Hitler did this purposely and intentionally gave it the most important role to play. He was still sore and angry with attempts on his life and the evidence of treason inside the Wehrmacht, and he wanted the plans and operations that he made to be under Waffen-SS Fritz Kramer, under the operations of the 6th Panzer Division. This evidence is in the National Archives in Washington, D.C. Planned in 1944-45, the Nazis went underground in 1943, and these plans were made. The army was made up largely of dedicated Nazis, sworn to obedience, who could be counted on to make a hard try for Antwerp and stay together. Hitler had to have the big solution. He had to have a new war, and what he was really doing is sending them up again to be rounded up by General Patton, George Patton, and the sympathetic persons that would protect them. He gave his most important role to his loyal, obedient SS officers. On paper, this army was not referred to as the 6th SS Panzer Army, but Hitler occasionally slipped and called it that, as we have seen by Colonel von der Heydt's written orders. Hitler gave the command of this army to his old and valued Nazi friend, Sepp Dietrich, a person he had known for a long time since World War I. He was a faithful follower of the Führer's. He would convert people to the Hitler causes. He was converted, and they faithfully followed him, and Hitler rewarded his loyal old comrade with the command of the important post in the army, and along with him, with his friend, Sepp Dietrich, he put a brilliant Wehrmacht strategist, Chief of Staff General Fritz Kramer. This Fritz Kramer, Kissinger's mentor, is a strategist in the Pentagon, a chief strategist. Translated, they're not in any of the battles or roll up their sleeves, but they do the planning. Although the goal was Antwerp and understood to achieve it, Kramer had an excellent encirclement of Liège, and I won't go into the tactical part of the Battle of the Bulge. I've done it on many broadcasts, and they're available if you want them. Now, in this same book, The Damned Engineers, it tells about how Mr. General von Rundstedt and Model rounded up their favorites, and included among them was a man who was brought by order of Hitler's headquarters. He was Lieutenant Colonel Otto Skorzeny, considered by Allied intelligence to be the supreme commander of the German forces and their most dangerous agent. Otto Skorzeny was brought in by Reinhard Galen, who brought in Miles Copeland, and they're the men that worked in Egypt. Egypt is now building the United States Abrams tanks, and of course they will be headed towards Israel before too long. Otto Skorzeny was Austrian, just as it was Hitler. He came from a long line of soldiers who served the Habsburgs, and Hitler told Skorzeny that he was going to give him the most important job of his life. All details of the plans and operations of Skorzeny's work are in a book called The Ardennes Offensive. There's a lot about Skorzeny, and Skorzeny also wrote a book, autobiographical, Skorzeny's Special Mission, published in 1957. That was a few years after he went to Egypt and worked with the CIA. Hitler was to give him the most important job of his life. He wanted him to raise an armored brigade in the image of the Americans. Hitler said, wear American uniforms, which he obtained. He obtained American uniforms. Drive American vehicles, which he obtained. Speak their language, and he trained his whole group to speak English and to tap a cigarette the way Americans would do it and eat American food. And such troops are going to mingle with the Americans, which they did, and take part in routing and retreating when the offensive began, and hold on to the bridgehead. And Skorzeny was very good at English. The plan was given the name Operation Grief, G-R-E-I-F in German. I think in English you might call it I-E-F. The Americans, at least 750 alive, taken as prisoners, were gunned down on orders of Fritz Kramer to kill all of them. And I think that's so people wouldn't recognize him when he showed up in the Pentagon a few years later. So the Operation Grief, the German name, doesn't mean sadness like the American IEF, but worse, it's after a mythical bird like a condor, Operation Grief. Now the condor or the bird can rise again like the phoenix, the condor. And I'm going into George Bush and the condor, and for as many weeks, maybe for a year or 3 months or 6 months, the Nazi fascist links of George Bush and Fritz Kramer, Skorzeny and Miles Copeland, the people that are going to take over the CIA and advising the president. They were not talking about back World War II. We're talking about a lineage that goes continuously to the present. And to help you, I will do charts maybe this week and next week and continuously then add pieces to those charts so you can visualize what I'm talking about. English-speaking volunteers were requested. They arrived at Skorzeny's headquarters. His special service troops had been the envy of young men in all branches of the German armed services. Starting in 1943, they were organized. That's the exact year that the Nazis went underground when Alan Dulles moved to Bern, Switzerland. Reinhard Galen, Hitler's intelligence agent, was putting away papers for the Americans to use because it was obvious that they were not going to be able to conquer Russia after their battle. They were retreating, and the Nazis took the papers of Reinhard Gehlen to use when the war was over. And this book, The Damned Engineer, said there was no lack of volunteers. They quickly learned all that he had to teach them, the basic requirements, the ability to speak English. He went to the high command and convinced them that he had English, full English-speaking troops. He never could create a full brigade, but he had a lot of them, and he had demanded 2 tank battalions, a paratroop battalion, signalmen, and so forth. And Otto Skorzeny presented this to Hitler. Hitler was very pleased about Skorzeny's work, and Hitler incorporated him into the Fritz Kramer operation with Sepp Dietrich. And then Skorzeny continued after all of this and went into U.S. military intelligence. All he needed was, he said, according to this book, 30 people in the German humans with American persons. And Watch on the Rhine, in quotes, moved forward with Hitler advising Fritz Kramer and Otto Skorzeny. So if this Adolf did live in Mendoza, Argentina, and was down there, as I believe he was, and I can review some more of that for you, I just bring up the sections from this particular book, The Damned Engineers. It's the closeness of Adolf Hitler with Skorzeny and Fritz Kramer and his dependence upon them. And also in the book, Galen's Spy of the Century, how the BND, the German intelligence, was interested in the Middle East. And Galen established several homes besides Pulak, which is where he stayed in Germany. He had foreign branches equivalent to CIA stations in Arab capitals. And he was involved in 1958 with some of Nasser's enemies even. And this book, Galen's Spy of the Century, goes into the Nazis and top Nazis that were used throughout Europe and placed in key positions in Cairo. To the Cairo residency of the German intelligence, Galen sent one of his senior officers, 35-year-old Gerard Bauch, the stepson of Reinhard Galen's vice president, Major General Hans Heinrich Wargitzky. Bauch lived in Cairo under the cover of being a representative of the Quant Corporation, a German heavy industry concern. In Damascus, Syria, the BND, Reinhard Galen's head, was run by ex-Sturmfuhrer Alois Brunner, a Nazi that should have been brought in a long time ago, but works with the German intelligence. And remember that Otto von Bolschwing took over the Galen operation in this country, traveling all over the world. And Brunner joined Mr. Bunch in Cairo. They were old friends. They worked under Adolf Eichmann with the Jewish department taking care of the Jews. So Galen's Spy of the Century names Miles Copeland and his relationship to these people. And the Damned Engineers tells the relationship of Skorzeny, who brought Copeland into this, and working with Fritz Kramer. And I believe that's the same Kramer who gave us Vietnam or all these various coups that have taken place since World War II and have promoted the likes of Henry Kissinger. Now, I'm reading books that came out a few years ago, and very early in 1980, that's 8 years ago, Lyndon LaRouche's newspaper, New Solidarity, had an article on the Nazi SS, the SS agents, SS Sturmtruppen troopers, being hired by the CIA, setting up a Nazi network. The title of the article is The SS, The Use of the SS for the CIA Nazi Network, run by the Colonel Otto Skorzeny. There's a picture of Skorzeny that looks very much like Robert Bork, believe it or not. And this was written in 1980, and that was 8 years ago. And while people badmouth and put down LaRouche, I challenge persons to come out with as much information as there has been in this one article, and he was continuously alerting people to these matters. And I'm going back to an article I've had for a long time. April 11th, 1980 is when the Bologna bombing took place at the train station there. There were about 85 people killed and 250 injured. And right now, sitting in the Italian jail as part of a team of about 11 or 12 people who did that bombing and tried to blame the leftists and the communists, or even just call it the strategy of tension, which we're going to feel in this country that'll soon break out of. It's consistent with what these people have done before. In the Italian jail are two very prominent Italians, Francesco Pazienza and Licio Gelli. Pazienza, a close associate with Michael Ledeen, with the Italian intelligence system, and Gelli, the head of the P2, that plans to turn Europe and the world into Nazi tactics. Again, Gelli worked for Adolf Hitler's SS, for Mussolini's intelligence, then went to Argentina and teamed up with Juan Perón. He early worked with Franco in Spain. So those two men are in jail at the present time to show that sometimes these big bosses do get rounded up, but first you have to kill 85 people. They've killed a lot more than that. And, of course, Licio Gelli helped build the rat line that took Klaus Barbie down and out of Italy with the help of the Vatican to Bolivia, and Henry Kissinger was in charge of part of the CIC and Klaus Barbie before he could go down to Bolivia. So this was the terrorism that took place in Italy, and 1 week later, an article in a New Solidarity at great length goes into Skorzeny's responsibility and network to the Bologna bombing. And this is the way the article reads, and it goes into Skorzeny's 1950 activities when he was working with Miles Copeland. There have been an unabated wave of fascist bombings and assassinations, plot after plot, aiming for a fascist coup d'etat in Italy. Fascist terror attacks run, and along with Minister of Defense, Mr. Giulio Andreotti, as part of NATO, they're working with the CIA and NATO, giving the orders, and they hope to drive the left, the would-be left or communists, into the protective arms of Andreotti. We're told that George Bush is a moderate, a mealy mouth, and a lot of terrorism would drive you to him instead of an extremist like Jack Kemp or Pat Robertson. Fascist terror attacks, the article says, are happening, as I say, by the intelligence community, and it is fairly common knowledge throughout all of Europe that the extreme right-wing terrorist group are completely integrated with each other and are not separate. The European press, especially the Italian press, run regular exposés of the neo-fascist international. La Stampa, a newspaper in Italy, rehashed the well-known fact that SS Colonel Otto Skorzeny, the man who Hitler sent to rescue Mussolini, has been the major arms conduit to neo-fascists everywhere. Now, whenever you see the name Skorzeny, there are the descriptions of how he rescued Mussolini. Nothing about Skorzeny and the Battle of the Bulge, saying Skorzeny, the man who wore American uniforms, who worked with Fritz Kramer to kill Americans in Malmedy massacre, is the person who has these arms. It's always he rescued Mussolini. That's safe, because Mussolini is dead. The article says Skorzeny brought together various groups in the 1950s to form the Malmö International, Malmö being Sweden, and Axel Wennergren, a person important in armaments, who armed Adolf Hitler and worked with Rudolf Hess, and the German establishment came from Sweden. And this was the beginning, actually preceded the World Anti-Communist League. This was a convention where, by this account, every fascist party, every major nationalist sect, including the infamous Ustashi, attended. The Croatian fascists that were used by Hitler against Tito, this group were well represented by almost all groups currently responsible for European terrorism. The SAM, which is the Squadre di Azione Mussolini, Mussolini's action squads, the Ordine Nuovo, the New Order, and that's Stefano Della Calle, and along with Prince Borghese, member of Permandex, the group behind the assassination of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. The Ordine Nero were there, the Black Order, the Corsidon, the Tyrolean, the Wallonian Nationalists, and of course this preceded the World Anti-Communist League. In Germany, matters could be under the control of the graduates of the Freikorps and the Fritz Kramers. And then out of Asia, where WACL was formed with Taiwan and South Korea and Japan, it was under the control of Charles Willoughby, a graduate of Hitler's Kriegsakademie named Mr. Wiedenbach. I have to stop now because the hour is up. At next week, I'm going to continue, as I say, with these fascist connections and how the relationship of Skorzeny and Miles Copeland and the CIA worked in Egypt. This is an article printed in 1980 about the Nazi network of Skorzeny and Egypt and the Nasser affair, making most of the Middle East into Nazi stronghold. But this hour is up, so I will stop for now. I'll be back with you to update some current news and continue on the fascist Nazi links behind the presidency of George Bush. In the meanwhile, thank you for your calls, letters, messages. I'll be in touch with a lot of you in the weeks to come or in the week. Everything right now is okay. I'm still here, and I'll be back with you. I hope I am next week. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.